Good afternoon and welcome to Health Styles.
I'm Barbara Gleickstein.
I'm Diana Mason. Health Styles is brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. For this month on Health Styles, we're participating in Healthcare Decision Month. It is a national effort to promote conversations about our end-of-life wishes, whether we're at the point of knowing that we're going to die tomorrow, or tomorrow is a big surprise and we're maybe not yet dying, but we're unconscious and there are people making healthcare decisions for us. And so we are doing a series of four programs. The first two have already aired, and you can find those programs on our blog at www.centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. That's centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. The first one focused on why these conversations are so important. And then last week we talked with you about how to start having the conversation about who you want to make healthcare decisions for you in the event that you're unable to do so. And we advised you to look online for a form and gave you some sites to find those forms, and we'll give you those websites again. And so that we can walk through today how to have how to complete one of these forms for what's called advanced directives and having a healthcare proxy. And even if you don't have the form in front of you, we're going to use a form as a guide, but we will be talking about the specific points that you need to have in terms of a conversation with the person you want to be your healthcare agent, and what are the issues that you need to think about. And here, joining us again in this whole series, we're very pleased to have Dr. Vedette Todaro-Franceschi, a nurse and professor of nursing at Hunter College, City University of New York. And Vedette, thank you for coming back onto Health Styles.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And we have Tina Jansen-Spinoza, a staff attorney at New York Legal Assistance Program, or Legal Assistance Group, where she is program coordinator for Total Life Choices, a program to help people do this kind of advanced planning. Tina, thank you for coming back on Health Styles.
Thank you.
So, Tina, talk about the form that you're going to use as a template and walk through. And again, for listeners, even if you don't have this form in front of you, you can be making notes about the points for that we're discussing on this form.
Or you can quickly go to totallifechoices.org and scan it or print it quickly, or just know with your eyes that you can do it later on, and keep listening and grab a piece of paper and pencil because this is very valuable information.
Tina, start with...
Okay, so the form that we are going to be discussing is a healthcare proxy form that is for New York State. If you are in another state, it might look differently. There might be different kind of requirements. If you go on your local state's website, they will also not only provide you for free with a form, but they will most likely also have explanations as to how to complete the form, and as well as what's called the execution requirements, which basically means how you need to sign it, whether you need a notary or not. In New York, no notarization is required, and you need, but you do need two witnesses, but we'll go more into that. So first of all, with the healthcare proxy, what you're going to do is you're going to state your name. There's a number one in the healthcare proxy. It says I. You're going to put down your name. If you have other names that you go by, you can just write down AKA, which stands for also known as, and you're going to write those other names down. But start with your legal name, the one that's in your driver's license, your passport, Social Security, whatever other legal documentation you have. Then it states that you hereby appoint. In that space, you're going to indicate the name that is the complete name, first name, last name, the complete home address, and all available telephone numbers for your first choice as your healthcare agent. You can only designate one person at a time. So this will be your number one choice.
And your healthcare agent is that person who's going to make healthcare decisions for you if you're unable to do so, correct?
Absolutely.
Vedette, can I ask you about your legal name? And for those who are listening who may not be documented, immigrants who are undocumented, can they complete these forms?
Tina,
sorry. I looked at you and said,
yes, absolutely. We have, yes, as long, because the law applies to you because you are in New York, regardless of your immigration status or what other kind of status you have. Even if you're a tourist here, technically, it would be a good idea to fill out a healthcare proxy form because you might wind up in the New York State Hospital. So yes, absolutely. As long as you're over the age of 18, because at 18 you have reached that magical age at which your parents or legal guardians can no longer make medical decisions for you, you should be completing a healthcare proxy if you are in the state of New York, at this one specifically if you're in the state of New York. Then you have... Keep on going?
Yes,
all right.
Please keep on going.
Then you have a space to put down alternate agent. Now, your alternate agent is going to be your second choice. You're going to put that person's name, home address, and all telephone numbers down. What you need to keep in mind, I had somebody who asked me, I have my daughter who lives in California, and I talk to her every day, and I trust her 100%. And I get along very well with her. And I have my neighbor. My neighbor was obviously 2 minutes away from me down the hall. So she was thinking that she was going to put down in number one her neighbor, because her neighbor was closest geographically to her. And in number two, her daughter, who's in California. And I asked this person, who is it, bottom line, who is it that you trust the most? Who in your heart and in your mind should be your number one making medical decisions? And she said, my daughter, of course. Mm-hmm. So who do you put down in number one? You put down your daughter in number one and your neighbor in number two. Because if your daughter is not available, then your neighbor is going to be making medical decisions for you. But as soon as your daughter becomes available, then the neighbor has nothing else to say to the doctors anymore, and the daughter becomes the number one advocate for you. And this is what this woman had wanted. Then there is a number three in the healthcare proxy that basically states that you can state a date of expiration. Let's backtrack a little bit. Your agents, your primary and your secondary, if you have an alternate agent, and it's very possible that you don't have an alternate agent because there's only one person that you trust, and that's fine too. But they both must be in New York, and I'm assuming in a lot of other states, over the age of 18, and may not be your attending physician unless related to you by blood, marriage, or adoption. You cannot have your physician being both your physician and your healthcare agent. Another important point is, I know that there are some people who want to appoint their physician or that want to appoint their social worker because there's really nobody else out there that they trust or that they know well enough. But because you've had a conversation, you have to make sure that you have a conversation with them beforehand, because a lot of social workers are not allowed to be healthcare agents, and a lot of doctors don't want to be healthcare agents. So it's definitely something that you need to keep in mind. So now moving forward this time, in the number three of your healthcare proxy, you can indicate an expiration date to your healthcare proxy. Do not do so. You can always change your healthcare proxy form, and it's the latest in date that will be valid. Another reason why you don't want to put an expiration date, and it actually happened, is I saw a healthcare proxy form from a lady who put down an expiration date, and 2 days after the form expired, she wound up in the hospital. And of course, she had completely forgotten that she had put down an expiration date or when it expired. So that was obviously a problem because she went through the whole process of having the conversation and discussing it and filling it out and all that for nothing because it wasn't valid when she actually needed it. Now we're coming to a very big point of the healthcare proxy, which is the number four of the healthcare proxy.
Can I go back to three for a moment, if I may, Tina? Would you recommend people draw a line through it? We recommend people write the words, do not apply. Do you recommend they leave it blank?
They can write down, they can either cross a line through it or just state no expiration date.
Good. Thank you.
My healthcare proxy does not expire. So now going back a little bit to the number four and going back to our previous segments, which have to do with the conversation, and I'm quite sure that somebody here is going to jump in. We need to make sure in the number four of the healthcare proxy, what needs to be indicated is the following sentence. And the following sentence is, I have discussed my wishes concerning artificial nutrition and artificial hydration with my agent and alternate agent, if there is one. Obviously, if there's just one agent, then you just put down one agent. What does that mean? It means that you are authorizing your agent to tell your doctors, should you be in a terminal irreversible situation, you're authorizing your agent to tell the treating physicians that they can remove, withdraw, not give artificial nutrition, artificial hydration, which is really how we keep a lot of people alive right now. So you might be in a situation where, God forbid, the doctors say, you know, she's not going to come out of it or he's not going to come out of it. Turn towards your healthcare agent and say, what is it that we should do? And your healthcare agent is going to have to make a determination as to what kind of treatments should be discontinued or continued in order to authorize them specifically for artificial nutrition, artificial hydration. It needs to be put into this form.
Let me just point out that you've been listening here to Tina Jansen Spinoza, who is a staff attorney at New York Legal Assistance Group, where she's program coordinator for Total Life Choices. You're listening to Health Styles. I'm Diana Mason.
And I'm Barbara Glickstein.
And we also have with us in the studio Vedette Todaro Franceschi, who is a professor of nursing at Hunter College, City University of New York. And Vedette, I wanted you to just comment for a moment about a lot of people have difficulty with this issue of artificial hydration and nutrition, the idea of withholding fluids and nutrition. There seems to be something very difficult that people have difficulty with the idea, I'm not going to feed mama, I'm not going to hydrate mama. And yet, the evidence tells us that maybe that is not such a bad choice.
Artificial nutrition and hydration is simply that. It's an artificial mean of sustenance. It's not food. And I'm going to simply say that Tina is absolutely right that that line should be there, and for two reasons. Not only so that you can say, so that the healthcare agent can say, please withdraw that, but also so that the healthcare agent could say, please continue that. Mm-hmm. Because there are instances where people do not want the artificial nutrition and hydration removed for whatever reason. And I'm going to give a little story, which is shared in a chapter that I co-authored with Nessa Coyle, who is a palliative care pioneer in nursing, about a concentration camp survivor who, at the end of her life, when there was big talk about withdrawing artificial nutrition and hydration, in her case, in that case, it would have been against her, it would have caused more moral suffering to remove the feeding than to continue it, because this is a person who had suffered greatly and had from starvation and watched loved ones die of starvation, and so that it was a symbol of something far greater. And in instances like that, so the way to address it is to make sure you have the conversation and make sure it's documented that the healthcare agent is aware of your wishes.
Tina, if I can ask you to read how it's stated for those who may not have the form in front of them, the language in question number three.
Four,
about this. What does it ask you to do? You say you would write the sentence, I have discussed my wishes, or it's on the form?
No, you write the sentence.
Okay.
You write the sentence, I have discussed my wishes concerning artificial nutrition and artificial hydration with my agent and alternate agent, if you do have such an alternate agent. And absolutely. And concerning, you're not saying that you don't want it or that you do want it. You're just saying, I have discussed my wishes, so that your agent is going to be able to inform the doctors of what it is that you have discussed with them, what your wishes are. So I often receive forms that say, I don't want artificial nutrition and hydration. And I call the people who fill up the forms and I say, well, you don't want it in any circumstances. You know, if you something happens to you and they just need to feed you for a week or 2 weeks, and then you're back up on your feet. You don't want artificial nutrition, artificial, and they're kind of like, of course I do. But that's not what they wrote in their form, because they wrote down, I do not want artificial nutrition or hydration. There are Jehovah's Witnesses that always write down, I do not want blood products. And that's in any circumstances. So I understand when I read on their form, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, I do not want any type of blood products. That covers all bases. But what I'm asking you to put down in this form is, I have discussed my wishes concerning artificial nutrition, artificial hydration.
With my agent.
With my agent and alternate agent. you also, and that's all that needs to be put into the number four. Obviously, when you've had your conversation with your agent, what you want to have discussed is you want to have discussed what quality of life is to you, so that they know, because we cannot spend hours discussing everything that might possibly happen to us. We can't even fathom anything and everything that might possibly happen to us. So what we can do is we can discuss what quality of life means to us. How do we want to live? We can discuss how important or not important suffering is, pain relief is. We can discuss mechanical respiration. Would we want that or not if we're in a terminal irreversible situation? These are things we can discuss. CPR.
CPR being resuscitation, cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
So that would be, for instance, if I am in a terminal irreversible situation. In other words, in New York, two doctors state that I'm not going to be coming out of whatever I am in right now. There's no cure for what I have. And my heart stops beating. Should they go in and jumpstart my heart again? Or is it okay to say, because I've been suffering such a long illness and there's nothing that can cure me, is it okay to say, that's it, let me go. Don't perform CPR.
So do we have to, on our forms, do we have to list these things, or can we just say, I have, my healthcare proxy knows my wishes about treatment decisions should I not be capable of making them?
I just put down, I have discussed my wishes concerning artificial nutrition and artificial hydration with my agent.
And what about CPR? What does that do? Or can they do that? Do I need a statement about that?
No.
No.
I mean, for people who might feel more comfortable, they can say, I've discussed my medical wishes with my agent. My alternate agent, including those concerning artificial nutrition, artificial hydration. But quite frankly, this is the healthcare proxy form, and it covers all of that. It's just that when for reasons that I don't think we're going to go into today, but when the form was created, there really was an issue as to whether artificial nutrition, artificial hydration constituted medical treatment or not. So the question is, some people were of the opinion that artificial nutrition and artificial hydration was not covered by the healthcare proxy because it was considered as being food. So that's why. Another thing is, maybe, Vedette, you want to talk to this a little bit, because I often have people who tell me, I don't want to starve to death. And I think that's a big misconception.
We're going into other ground, but very quickly, research has shown that people who withdraw artificial nutrition and hydration die very peacefully and do not suffer any more than they would if they were kept alive on artificial nutrition and hydration.
I think the other thing that, unfortunately, most of us who have not been able to be present at the death of someone or the time period days before, when they are naturally passing into death, that in fact the body doesn't want water and food. And the request is not to be fed. The request is not to drink. And when you have the ability to witness that, you have a better and clearer connection to this idea of the end of life and allowing really the process of death to occur. And I think this is part of our hoping to have these conversations and to change the culture to help people have a better understanding that there are things that are referred to as good deaths. And a good death, when the body is ending its functioning, does not wish to have food or water. It actually can be thought of as sort of violating that process of dying, even though in our whole lives what we see is food and water as being a nurturing. In this instance of dying, that is not true. The body does not wish food nor water.
Very quickly here then, what else do we need to make sure we have on this form?
Okay,
Tina?
And then what you're going to see also is that there's a number 5, and it's basically a HIPAA release, and that's very important in all these documents.
What's a HIPAA release?
It basically authorizes the doctors and the nurses to communicate with your agent about what your medical situation is right now. So it basically allows to discuss where you are at.
And HIPAA is the...
The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And I've read through it. It's not fun.
No. And it is a privacy act that healthcare professionals and healthcare organizations are very keen on these days, because they can have to pay fines if they violate this law. So you must give permission for your information to be shared with your healthcare proxy. So you've got that. You agree to that.
And then what you need to do then is you need to print your name very clearly. Again, you are not going to be able to advocate on your own behalf once this form takes effect. So you need to be
if
sure
you're
that's
not, but say that again.
You're not going to be able to advocate on your own behalf when this form takes effect.
Meaning when you're
incapacitated.
Okay.
So you're going to print your name, sign it, and date it, and also insert your address. But you need to be sure that you're going to sign it and date it in front of 2 witnesses that are not your healthcare agents. In other words, these people are not mentioned on your form. You need to grab 2 other people over the age of 18 and ask them to watch you sign.
That's all they're witnessing is your signature.
That's correct. They're witnessing the fact that nobody's coercing you. Mm-hmm. Also your signature, but they're witnessing the fact that nobody's coercing you and that you're actually signing. If you have, so you're going to take 2 people over the age of 18, they're both going to watch you sign, and they're both going to put their names, addresses, print their names, and the date, which means that since they watched you sign, all dates on these forms will match.
So what am I doing with this form then? I now have this form. What am I going to do with it?
Now, what you're going to do with it is you want to make sure that it's going to be readily accessible. So you can do several things with it. You want to make sure that you're going to make photocopies of it, because photocopies are valid. You can and distribute them, the photocopies, to whomever wants one. Your doctor, the hospital that you usually go to, stick one on your fridge, put one behind your entrance door. If your building management wants one, give it to them. Of course, give a copy to your healthcare agent, an alternate.
Your home care nurse, your social worker.
Whoever wants one, your senior center, whoever wants one, please give them one. What New York Legal Assistance Group does is we register these medical advance directives, these healthcare proxies, for free with the U.S. Living Will Registry, which is a private entity. And what they do is they scan in the medical advance directives and they send you back a wallet-sized card. And with the information on that card, any healthcare facility can pull up your healthcare proxy on their computer screens.
Great.
You receive a new wallet-sized card every 12 months, so it serves as a wonderful reminder that you have a healthcare proxy. Do you want to change anything? Do you need to update anything? What you can do, if you have any questions with the New York State form, you can absolutely email me at TLC, which stands for Total Life Choices, at NYLAG, which stands for New York Legal Assistance Group,
.org. NYLAG.org.
Yes.
One more time.
You say it.
TLC at NYLAG.org.
Yes.
Got it.
And if you can also call me, but I'm often off-site, so it might take me a little while to get back to you, but my telephone number is 212-613-5062.
One more time.
That's 212-613-5062.
And that is Tina Jansen-Spinoza, staff attorney at New York Legal Assistance Group, where she is program coordinator for Total Life Choices. Vedetta Dero Franceschi? Yes.
There's a couple of things.
Quick.
Just you have these forms. They're already filled out. You need to, anytime you have a change in diagnosis or you see a change in your activity level, if there is a death of healthcare proxy agents, you have to revisit it. You have to revisit it. It may not be in 12 months. It may be tomorrow.
And any other information, if they want more information, any good sources?
I always tell everyone to go to caringinfo.org. I think it's a very well-rounded site, especially for people who do a lot of traveling. You can always download the state healthcare proxy forever, wherever you are. Great. You can also email me. My email address is vtodaro, that's T as in Tom, O-D-A-R-O, at hunter.cuny.edu.
V-T-O-D-A-R-O at hunter.cuny.edu. Thank you so much, Vedetta Dero Franceschi, for being with us today. Thank you, Tina Jansen-Spinoza, for being with us on Health Styles today. This is the third of a four-part series on healthcare decision-making around our end-of-life decisions. And next time, our final program, we're going to be talking about some of the other forms that are out there and what's the difference between a DNR, a pulsed, a durable power of attorney, a last will and testimony, and what we just walked through today. So on behalf of Health Styles, I'm Diana Mason.
I'm Barbara Gleickstein.
Thank you for tuning into this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College. You can follow us on our blog, and you can listen to this program on our blog at www.centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. That's centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. Talk with you next week.